If you live, appreciate you being here. If you're not live, then you'll probably catch the replay, which is all good. But it's Wednesday on another beautiful episode of Whole, Healed, and Healthy, where we have real conversations about real life, just as we walk through our healing journeys, our wellness journeys, our wholeness journeys. And we just look at things from a practical point of view and just based on what the Word of God says, because I'm a believer and I try my hardest to live my life according to what the Bible says, man. So I'm excited for this Wednesday. As we started out last week, just talking about the state of the world and the things that are going on in these here United States of America, man. I just hope and pray that we are all finding ways to just not become overstimulated, overworked, overwhelmed. That we're finding ways to make sure that we are keeping our minds right. That's the most important thing, you know, that if I can't be my best self for me, then how can I be my best self for somebody else? As we just navigate these next 4 years, let's just stay mindful, let's stay prayerful, and most of all, let's make sure that we are just aware of how we're feeling day by day. Don't let anybody try to, a term that I've learned and something that I've been trying to live by, don't allow people to try to spiritually bypass what you're going through and just tell you that it's going to be okay or that God is in control. Yeah, we understand, we know that God is in control and that saying is not wrong. But sometimes we have to allow people to sit and process their emotions. And a lot of times telling people just to get over it or God is in control, we bypass what they're going through and try to put a Band-Aid on it when, hey, sometimes we got to sit and talk. Sometimes we got to share. Sometimes we have to get it out. And I'm just hoping that you're finding, along with myself, my family, just finding healthy ways to cope. You know what I mean? Healthy ways to deal not only with what's going on in the United States, but just whatever may be going on in your personal lives. But anyway, got that out the way. Man, I just wanted to hop on here. Again, I'm working on being consistent, trying to do this weekly. Every Wednesday, I'm going to nail down a time and get on here and just share where I'm at, what I'm going through, share some things, maybe some things that I feel God has been showing me concerning just my life, concerning things that I may feel in the world. But anyway, I want to share something, man. I had the opportunity last year to preach for my cousin Fred at his church, Kingdom Life Ministries. Shout out to Kingdom Life. I had the opportunity to minister there. I think it was last summer. But I had shared this message, man, of some thoughts that God had given me at that time. We had just came back from Sacramento celebrating the life of one of our great aunts, my grandma's last living sister at the time, my great aunt Helen. When I was sharing with my mom and a few of my uncles and some of my older cousins and even a few cousins my age, that just about how in a short span of time, we had lost so many great people in our family. My grandmother had passed, my Aunt Dorothy had passed, my uncle Big Fred had passed, and then our cousin CJ, and then our Aunt Helen. And so it was like in a short time frame, we had lost these, what we call giants, pillars of our family, people whose presence that they didn't have to say a word, but you knew that they were there when they walked into the room just because they just had their presence that sometimes felt bigger than life, especially my grandmother. Like, you knew she was there. She ain't had to say a word. I was sharing with my mom, like, y'all, it's on y'all now. Like, you guys are the ones. You've been elevated to another position in life, to a new level in life. You're no longer just, say, Aunt Joyce, or you are now like in a position of to help to continue to carry on the family legacy. And so as I'm saying that, and I'm thinking about her and my uncles, and then, like I said, my older cousins out in Sacramento, sharing with them, now my age group, we the new aunties and we the new uncles. You know what I'm saying? We're the family. We're the family guys and family girls. We're the ones, when I was younger, when we went out to Sacramento or whenever they came here or whatever the case may be, like, when I was younger, we were staying with, you know, my older cousins. Like, we were staying at their houses or we were staying with my aunts and uncles. And now we the aunties, we the uncles. I saw a post on Facebook, somebody put, if we the new pastors, this world is in trouble. I said, no, that's crazy. If we're the new pastors, then this world is in trouble. And I thought it was funny because they were just basically saying, like, some people don't even know how to pray. But anyway, so I was sharing that. Like I said, I had the opportunity. What's up, broski? So I had, like I said, I had the opportunity to minister at my cousin's church. I ministered on that thought about how when one era ends, another era begins. And as much as we grieve the loss of our family, you know, these great figures in our family, we grieve loss. And we know that there are two things to serve. We're going to live, we're going to die. And as much as we grieve the loss, the thought came to me as, you know, that era has ended and now a new era is beginning. And so I was like, man, like in that new era, like we are the new we're the new aunties and uncles, basically. If you between the ages of 35 and 42, because I'm about to be 42 in June, it's on us. It's on us. We the new aunties. We the new uncles. We're the ones who got to throw the family reunions, the family get-togethers, the all that. Like, when people come in town, yo, we staying at Mel's house. We have the houses now. We have the families now. It's on us. If I was thinking about that, and God had took me to the story of Samuel, and if you don't know, I'm not going to preach it, but I'm just going to talk through it because it really helped me. So the story of Samuel goes a little something like this. Like, Samuel was the last of one thing and the first of a new thing. So he was the last of one era, but he was the beginning of a new era. And for a lot of people in life, we are in that space where it's a little weird. We're transitioning from one space and we're going into a new space in a space. And that's one thing that I was sharing with my family was like, my grandmother just had this way of making everybody feel like you were her favorite. Like, she just had this special way of making you feel like it didn't matter who was in the room. Like, you were the only one that mattered to her. She just had this special gift, this ability just to, that you knew that she loved you. And so I was thinking about that and I'm like, man, there's so much wisdom, so much knowledge that has been lost. And it's on us now to be the ones to carry that thing forward. And so for a lot of people, you're right, in that space where it is tough to lose a loved one or to lose a friend or to lose a job, whatever, because grief doesn't just happen when people die. Grief comes in different ways. We grieve losses of jobs, losses of relationships, losses of marriage. And you lose some money, you're going to grieve that thing. You're going to be hurt and try to figure out how to get it back. Grief is real. And that is a real space and a tough space to be in. But I love that as I was in that space in my own life, and still am, because I'm learning and growing, but it just taught me what they gave us lives on. What they instilled in us is going to live on. And I call my generation, if you are my age, between the ages of 30, 35, and 42, I call us the bridge gappers, because we're able to bridge the gap. And I say that because I was born in 83. So I saw the rise of MTV, you know what I mean? Then we saw the rise of beepers and cell phones. And then I saw the inception of the internet. So from AOL to Black Planet to MySpace. So then I was able to, I saw that. Then I saw how the internet began to evolve to cell phones, right? Like, I remember I had a Sidekick, the joint that you open up, and then you had the BlackBerry. Then you got the iPhone, right? And the iPhone was crazy. But then you had the Motorola Razr. And so the Nokia joint with the snake on it. I feel like my generation, the ones who are in their late 30s going into their 40s, like, we have the best of both worlds, because not only did I see that on the natural side, that in the spiritual realm, or in the spiritual side, on the church side, like, I saw how people prayed. I learned how to pray from my parents. I watched my dad get up every day and I saw him pray. I saw him study the word. He instilled that in me. I went to church and they had Sunday school. And in Sunday school, they instilled these things, the foundational things of how to live right, how to treat people right. So I saw that. That's inside of me. And so now, at the age of 42, seeing how this newer generation, they don't see a lot of the things that we saw. They're getting a lot of great things. And, you know, this generation is the TikTok and all that. I don't mess with TikTok like that. I'd be on there scrolling, laughing, but I don't post on there that much. Not that I can't, but that's not what I do. I call my generation the generation that it was, I feel like, is the generation that can help bridge the gap even more, because I feel like, just like Samuel, that we are the last of one thing and we were the beginning of another thing, of a new thing. You know what I mean? Like, we saw, again, we saw MTV rise. We saw the rise of music videos. We were there. We were born in it and we were raised in it. Like, I knew how to play outside and then I knew how to go play on my PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like, it was a balance. And I feel like a lot of what's happening now is like we have no balance. But I feel like this generation, my generation, is really called to help bridge that gap, because I know enough of the slang that I don't feel left out. And I know that I'm older and I'm an uncle now. Hey, yo, one of my nephews really called me unk. And I'd be like, dawg, like, I'm not that old. But in my, and then Randy had told me, like, yeah, you are. You're 42. Like, you're 41. Like, you're unk. You old, bro. You are old. And it's crazy to think about that. But I love it because I'm still able to resonate with that generation. I'm still able to have conversations with that generation. And I'm also able to sit and talk and glean from my uncles and my mom and my aunts and my older cousins to gain that knowledge and to suck up all that knowledge. So now it's like we're in a perfect position, especially now that we can really help to create a change, not just in the church, but just in culture in general, just in your own family in general. It's for me, I feel like we've seen so much that we know what works and we know what doesn't work. We know what we want to do and we know what we don't want to do. We know that we don't want people to be subjected to some of the things that we went through, but we also know that there are things that we did go through that are very important and that help shape us. We still, man, I'm as young as I want to be. Like, age ain't nothing but a number. I feel like in my mind, I'm like 22. That's how I feel. Like, but I'm never going to let go of my youth. I'm never going to let go of that inner child per se. I'm just going to use wisdom with it. You know what I mean? I'm going to be able to use the wisdom that I've gained and that I'm gaining from the elders of my family. But so what am I saying? I was able to preach this message, speak this message. And it talked about how Samuel, and again, I'm not about to preach it. It talks about how when Samuel was born, he was born in a time when God would use judges to rule over the people. And what happened was that all of the judges basically have become corrupt. But Samuel was one who saw the corruptness of those judges. But then he saw there was a man named Eli who basically was his mentor. And he saw how Eli worshiped God. And he saw how Eli had a reverence for the things of God, for the altars of God, and for prayer. And the things that people sometimes just think that are not important, for the sacred things of God. I don't want to call them traditional, but for the things of God that mattered. And so Samuel saw that. He saw how the judges ruled over the people, how they didn't rule justly. They were unjust. They were taking and stealing and robbing. So I believe in my mind, this is just what I believe, that Samuel saw that. Then he saw how Eli governed. And then he understood that, hey, I'm in a position now to where I can take what I learned from the judges. I can eat what was good, spit out the rest, and create something totally new. And so Samuel was the one who ushered us into the era of kings. He anointed the first king. He anointed King Saul. And then he anointed King David. And they were able to usher in a new regime, right? So what does that have to do with us as being the new aunties and the new uncles? What that means is that us in our 40s, we saw the things that didn't work. We saw the things that, I don't live under that notion of what's done in this house stays in this house, or sweep it under the rug, because that's how we continue cycles of abuse and mistrust and all those things that have been so detrimental to us. I don't believe in that anymore. I saw things that did not work. I saw things that were not right. I saw abuse. I saw misuse. I saw mistreatment. And I'm just talking in general. I'm saying there are things that we all saw, things that we've lived through. And it's, hey, I want to be better. And Samuel, we have the opportunity, like we're the last of a generation and we're the first of a generation. Like we're the end of, I think there was like the, I don't know the generation before, I don't know the baby boomers, whatever. But like we're the end of whatever those generations were. And we were the first to see, really, man, think about it. We grew up with the internet. I grew up with MTV. I grew up with AOL. ASL, age, sex, locate. That was, you hit somebody with that, you guarantee. And we on there at 12 and 13. Oh, they're telling you 16 and telling, you know what I'm saying? We were in that generation where I saw, again, the first iPhone. I don't think I had the first iPhone. I think it was like iPhone 5 or 6. But anyway, like I had the iPhone. I had a BlackBerry. So I saw technology evolve. And as technology evolved, I was able to evolve with it, right? I learned how to get on the internet. Think about it. If you was on MySpace, Man, our generation should be like having all types of tech jobs because we coding, making web pages with glitter falling out the sky, and you got music playing in the background. We doing HTML code, all types of crazy stuff at 13 and 14, just trying to have the best MySpace page. I know how to write code. I can't do it now, but those are the things that we grew up in. We knew how to do it. You know what I mean? And we saw the inception of it. We saw the conception of it. We saw it grow, and then we saw it fade away. I was there when Facebook, you had to have a college email address to get on Facebook. You know what I mean? That's when Facebook first started. You had to have a college email address to get on Facebook. That's how long I've been on Facebook. Some of y'all coming on here, like, oh, no, you had to go to school. You had to have a .edu. My Facebook, my email to log in is still my Eastern Michigan University email address. So that's what I'm saying. Our age group, I really feel like we are the generation that can help bridge these gaps, whether it be bridging the gaps in the church, because y'all know we need to bridge some gaps in the church. We wonder why so many people are leaving or don't want to attend, because people are tired of what they saw, what they've been through, and nothing is changing. And so I don't feel like people are walking away from God. I feel like people are walking away from systems that don't recognize God. So I don't feel like people are walking away from God. I don't feel like people are walking away from Jesus. This is me personally. I don't feel like they're walking away from God. I feel like people are walking away from churches that have no power, from churches that don't teach anything, that don't empower you to be better. People are walking away from families and friendships because they want better for themselves. So we as this, I want to call us that Samuel, that bridge gap generation, we're the ones who are going to be able, and we should be now, like, we should have started a while ago, but now it's time. It's time for our generation to be the ones to start to bridge the gap that I can, again, I can sit with my uncles and I can glean so much wisdom and knowledge from them. I love talking to them. I love talking to my parents. I love hearing stories about where they came from, how they grew up, how we got here. I love to hear those things because it gives me a sense of purpose to know all the things that we endured, all the things that we had to go through, and we're here. And we take that, and now we have to pass that message to the next generation to say, hey, you're not here by accident. We didn't survive all this just for us to not achieve anything. There's greatness in all of us. We have to bridge the gap to love. This is what I feel that God has called me to do, to help bridge that gap, to not be afraid, to encourage people to go to therapy. I came from a generation where you didn't go to therapy. You just went to your pastor. But then as I got older and I saw that my mom became a licensed therapist, I began to realize that maybe we do need outside help outside of just the pastor. You go to your pastor, and one pastor told me that I don't know, I can't help you. So you want me to come to you when I need help. I come to you because I need help. And your response to me is, I don't know, I can't help you, I've never dealt with that. Then I say, I'm going to go see a therapist. And then your response to that is just trust God and pray and have the Holy Spirit. No, that's the generation I grew up in. Those are the things and the stigmas that I feel like I'm called to help break. Because if you bust your knee up, you're going to see a doctor to get that surgery. So if you're struggling mentally, you're struggling with your mental health, why not go see a professional who can help you deal and cope, right? But we came from that generation that didn't believe in those things. We came from a generation just pray. I believe in the power of prayer. But after I pray, I need something to help me cope. I feel like we are able and have the ability and the power to establish things that can live on forever. Your life experience is great. What you've been through is so great. There are so many of us who have gone through things and our life experience has become vast. And you didn't go through that just to go through it. Somebody's going to need to hear how you overcame depression. Somebody's going to need to hear that how you were able to leave one marriage that may have been failing and you were able to find love again. Because some people just believe that, damn, you divorced, that's it. But that's another story. I believe that we all deserve and should be happy. And we need all walks of life. We need every story. We need to understand these things. What did Charles say? He said, we definitely need to bridge the gap with the youth and love, with marriage and according to, you're absolutely right. We have to show people that you can still love, you can still stay. Those things are still here. And then if you choose to never get married, that, you know what I'm saying? It's your choice. But one thing that I'm learning, and I think I said this last week, I'm learning to just respect and honor everyone's lived experience, because what you go through is not something that I've gone through, and I can't belittle or discredit your lived experience because it's not mine. You know what I mean? And I just feel like this generation can really help to bridge that gap. Coffee, I gotta have my coffee. I feel like this generation is really called to bridge that gap. What did Samuel do? He saw the corrupt, and I said it before, he saw how corrupt the judges were. The Bible goes on to say that they were just like terrible. They were just stealing money. They was sleeping with the women. They were just out here. They was in the street. They were the streets. You know what I'm saying? These judges were the streets. But then Samuel goes and he and his mom have Samuel. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I'm not here to preach. We're just here to talk and just have some dialogue about life. But Samuel was dedicated to God, and his mom said that she would give Samuel to God and he would dedicate his life to God. And through that, Samuel became a prophet. And the Bible says that his words never fell to the ground. Like everything that he prophesied, the things that he saw, like he was right. He was accurate because God was with him. But the thing that Samuel did that I love is that he was able to bridge. He held on to the sacred things that we need. He held on to the sacred things of God. And I feel like in life, in family, there are things that are deemed sacred and they're being lost because we have nobody. We don't have people who are going to hold up those standards. What's sacred in your family? What's sacred to you? What do you feel that's something that you can't live without? What are like the core foundations of your life? What are the core beliefs of your life? Find those things. That's why I love to sit with my uncles and my mom and my dad, just to hear about our family traditions and to hear about the things that we've overcome and to hear about how we got here and to hear about the things that they did. And just to hear, this is one thing that I love. I was able to talk to my dad. Me and my dad were talking and I was just sharing where I was at in life and some things that I was facing as a man, a husband, and as a father. The conversation was so freeing. Because I look at my dad a superhero. Seriously, like I'm gonna start crying thinking about it. But I look at my dad as like a superhero, man. He never missed work. He took care of us. We had everything that we wanted, the things that we needed. We had, he instilled in me how to be a man, how to take care of a household, how to take care of my family, father, how to pray, how to study the word, how to preach, how to love. Like he put all those things in me. And so I was talking to him one day and I was just sharing. And he said something to me about some things that he had faced early on in his marriage. And when I tell you, man, I almost broke down and cried because to hear him say that is what I needed to hear. And he just was sharing about how, you know, that they had to move things around and some of the things that they had to do to make it and to get to where they're at now. And it just gave me so much reassurance to know that I'm okay. Like what I'm going through is not far-fetched. It's not crazy. You're not wrong. You're not off. And just to have that knowledge and understanding and just that wisdom from him, man, it meant the world. And it just changed the trajectory of how I look at certain things. Now that I'm a father, now that I'm a husband, now that I'm unk to my nephews and my nieces, I'm unk, Uncle Mel, now that I'm that person to them, I have to be able to make sure that I can do for them what my dad has done for me. And that's how you continue legacy. Not only that, I have to take the great things that my parents did, and then I have to take the things that I wish that you would have did that. And so since you didn't do it, and again, like when we have these conversations, and these are conversations that I have with my parents and my sisters all the time. So I'm not getting on here airing out bad family business. These are conversations that my family, we've been learning to have these open conversations now because they're needed. It brings healing. Man, I'm telling y'all, like I'm tearing up thinking about it because it brings so much healing to be able to sit down and talk about your childhood, to be able to sit down and to talk about the things that you may be facing as adults and to say how things affected you and to hear your parents say, you know what, we did what we knew. It's no knock on them because they raised us right. They did what they knew. But it's so much healing. And this is something when I talk about bridge gapping that we have to be able I feel like I was able to help bridge that gap to open up conversations about things that we may not have never had conversations about. Some of the conversations may have started out awkward, but my family, man, we gonna find the joy, we gonna find the love in it, we gonna laugh through it, we may cry through it, but I love it because it always brought a sense of clarity, and it always brought us close, and it continues to bring us closer together, and it continues to help with our healing journey. You know what I mean? As bridge gappers, we have to be the ones to be able to let this next generation know what you're going through. I've been through it. I've seen that. I faced it. Now, it may not be exactly the way that they face it, but similarities. Life happens, and the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and we see that, and we know that. So knowing that, our generation, man, is the greatest generation to be able to bridge that gap. We're able to just share that knowledge and to continue on legacy. To continue on legacy. That is part of being a bridge gapper, is that we're going to continue on legacy. The legacy that my grandparents laid and then they gave to my mom and my uncles and my aunts. And then when my aunts and uncles and my mom, they went and started their own families, they instilled that legacy in them. And so now it's our job to instill that legacy in the next generation. I feel like every generation had an opportunity to be able to bridge those gaps. But I feel like this generation, man, my generation, I really feel that, and I believe that in my heart of hearts. I feel that so strongly, again, because I saw MTV and I saw TikTok, right? I lived through MTV and I'm living through TikTok. I know how to write a check and I know how to write in cursive, but I also know how to get online and sign a PDF online on my iPhone. Some people can't write in cursive. I'm learning, and now that Aries in school, they don't even teach cursive like that. Some people, you say, write a check. Can you bounce a checkbook? What's that? What's a checkbook? So there's so much. Life changes. Technology changes. I'm not scared of technology. And I feel like that's why this generation, man, is so amazing. I feel like our generation is so amazing because we're not afraid of technology. We're not afraid to try new things. We're not afraid to ask questions to get clarity. We're not afraid to go against the grain. Like, we're not afraid of those things. We want those things. We welcome those things. Because look, you're not going to bamboozle me no more. You're not going to continue to bamboozle us. You're not going to continue to try to pull the wool over our eyes and say, this is the way it is, this is the way it's always been, and this is the way it's going to be. No, why? If it ain't working, then we need to make some changes. But I'm not afraid of technology. I enjoy my iPhone. I can send an email, and I know how to address a letter. We saw MTV. We saw VH1. We saw all the great 90s sitcoms, the late 80s and the 90s sitcoms. Family Matters, Martin, Fresh Prince, Living Single. Then we move on to the 99s, and you had Kyla Pratt and Just the Two of Us and In the House, and then you had Blackish and all these great sitcoms, The Cosby Show, the Different World. Come on now. We saw it. We lived it. We grew up with it. So now I'm not afraid of Netflix. I love Netflix because now Netflix is bringing back all the things I used to watch. You got Netflix, you got all this technology, and I'm not afraid of it. My generation is not afraid of the technology. So what am I saying? I just hope and I encourage that as we continue to learn and grow, is that we really reach back and really pull up this next generation that's coming because they need guidance. We needed guidance, and more so they need it more than ever. We can reach them. I don't feel like people are walking away from God. I feel like people are walking away from church and finding God in different spaces. We have so many different outlets. I can wake up on Sunday morning and be in church in Africa via YouTube. The beauty of technology is like, the beauty and the scariness of it is that if it's whatever you want to find, you can find it out there. But I feel like I'm talking about my generation. I feel like my generation is finding God in a new way, in a way that doesn't look like the past generation. And when I say that, scares people think you run away from God. They think you, oh, you in a witch, like they think you in all types of crazy things, but that's not it. I just feel like this generation is just tired, right? We're just tired of, man, I'm not gonna go around this mountain over and over and over and over. I'm gonna find how it works. And when I find out the way that it works, I'm gonna do it that way because this is what works. Again, this generation, I grew up in the church. I was probably born in church. My parents is preachers. I'm a preacher. You know what I mean? It's in me. It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. It's what we do. My family. I have cousins who are preachers. Cousins who have started churches. It's in my DNA. It's in me. Let me pull up some of these comments. Yes, it's in me. So because it's in me, I'm always going to lean in towards the church. But I'm not going to lean in towards the church by the way that I used to do it. So my generation is, bruh, like we got to do something different and we got to do it now. Because if we don't do it now, man, we're going to miss that opportunity. It's 12:08. I got to get ready to go to work. We're going to miss it. And I'm going to do a part two, maybe next week. I'm going to come back and continue to talk about this because I think that this is a real conversation. All these are real conversations that need to be had, but this is something that we need to lean into. But man, we're finding God and we're not finding him in the traditional church. And that scares people because once you say, oh, man, I went to church for the first time in 7 months on last Sunday, and it was great. I was able to sit in, went to Oasis of Love to support Pastor Corey Pryor and his family, and I was able to sit in, man, and I loved it. He brought an amazing word and continued to pray for the Pryor family, and it was just good to be back in the building. But just because I hadn't been to church 7, 8, 9 months doesn't mean that I left God. It doesn't mean that I lost my salvation, that I'm no longer saved. Because back in the day, you missed church 2 Sundays in a row. When you come back, you at the altar repenting. They trying to make you throw up, casting out demons and devils. I'm like, bro, man, I had to work two weeks in a row. And you got me up here like I didn't repent. I got to repent in front of the church for missing church? Come on, man. My generation is tired of those types of things, teachings and things. I work 40 hours, 50 hours a week. I only get 2 days off. Sometimes I don't want to show up. Sometimes I want to spend time with my family. Sometimes I want to spend time with my wife. Sometimes I want to spend time with my daughter. It just is what it is. But don't demonize me. Man, I'm telling you, this is conversation that needs to be had. Don't demonize me because I don't show up. Yo, I just didn't come. I'm still saved. I still love God. As a matter of fact, we prayed and read the word at home. We had our own church service. So what am I saying? I'm saying this because I got to go to work. Man, I got to go to work. That our generation, come on, man, you was born in 1980, between 1980 and 1998, I'm saying from 1980 to 1989, that's my generation, I don't know, that's me, that's my generation, come on. So I talked to my friend, I talked to my friends, we have conversations. I just ran into a friend a couple weeks ago at one of my little cousin's birthday parties. We were just laughing about how old we are and how tight-knit our class of 2001, shout out, we the greatest, continues to be 20 some odd years later. You know what I mean? Like we're still tight knit when we see each other. It's just like we talked yesterday. Me and my friends, we talk and we share things. And a lot of us are coming to the conclusion that we just wanna know what works and what don't work. Because the stuff that don't work, I'm not doing. I'm not giving that. We're not giving that to our children. We're not passing that stuff on. But the things that do work, we are going to pass those things on. So we're going to continue this next week. But listen, man, I just want to encourage you, no matter where you may be at, no matter what you may be facing, no matter what you may be going through, you are the last of one thing and the first of another. Man, I just believe that God has put so much inside of all of us that he has called us all to do something and to create a legacy that's going to last forever. And it's up to you to find out what I want you to tune in, and I want you to stay tuned weekly, because my goal and my prayer is that I hope to help pull something out of you that you can say, man, I did not know that I needed that. I did not know that I needed to hear this. I did not know that was inside of me. You know what I mean? That's my goal. That's what I feel, that I'm called to help pull out greatness inside from each and every one of us. So wherever you may be at in your healing journey, man, keep walking. Wherever you may be at in that healing journey, don't give up. Even though it feels tough right now, I heard Pastor Pryor say, and this is crazy that he preached this message about scars, because a couple years ago, God had gave me a word on the same thing about scars and wounds. Wounds, they heal. Scars are just evidence. Scars are just the evidence that the wound has healed. Scars are just the evidence that what you've been through didn't take you out, but it just made you different. A scar is evidence that you healed. I got a scar on my toe from like when I was 9 or 10 years old. That scar is not going anywhere. Does my toe hurt? Not at all. Has my toe healed? Yes, it has. But that scar represents what I've been through. And I want to encourage you, because Pastor Corey encouraged me on Sunday with that word, that your scars are just a representation of what you've been through. And that he went on to say, and this is why I love the word, and I know it was for me, because this is something that I've been preaching. He went on to say that when you have a scar, you can help a person who's recently been wounded, because you can show them, yeah, you see that knee, that scar on my knee? I busted up my knee just like you did, and I had surgery. I still got the scar, but I bet you I could beat you running because I'm healed. Scars are evidence of healing. Your scars are just evidence of your healing. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Man, Pastor Corey, he encouraged me on Sunday when he shared that word, and it's wild because I'm going through my notes like, bro, God gave me the exact same word 2 or 3 years ago, the exact same word, and it was like, man, so on time. So listen, I got to go to work, but I pray that you're encouraged. I pray that you continue to bridge the gap. I pray that you find somebody to pour into. So I want to encourage you, man, find somebody that you can pour into. Find somebody that you can water. The thing, and I gotta go, the thing that Samuel did, he went and found a David. Find you a David. Find you somebody that you can say, you know what? I'm going to pour into you because I see greatness in you. I see something inside of you that just needs to be cultivated. So, man, I love y'all. And when I say that, I pray that you're encouraged. I love y'all. Be whole, be healed, and be healthy. Man, love y'all. Peace.